is Christian Questions.
Mac Vegan once said, "Sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So on behalf of myself, I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
We are glad you've chosen to spend time with us this morning. And Jonathan, what is our topic on this fine Sunday morning?
Well, Rick, our question this morning is Judgment Day coming this week?
This week. Okay.
And our theme text, Rick, is found in Hebrews 9, verse 27. "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment."
Remember this past May 21st, according to Harold Camping, the day that the rapture was supposed to happen? Well, since that no-show, all the air has gone out of Mr. Camping's prophecies, and attention is no longer focused in that direction. The fact is, though, that the other half of his, quote, prophecy, unquote, is that the earth would burn up on this coming Friday, October 21st.
This week.
So if you have plans, anyway. While we're not going to focus on Mr. Camping this morning, we will focus our time on God's day of judgment upon this earth. Exactly what is the day of judgment? How does it work? What does it accomplish? How long is it? And when might it come to pass? Is it this Friday, or is it a different plan of God? We'll have to take a look and see about all of that. So, Jonathan, it's about the Day of Judgment.
Okay.
What is the Day of Judgment? How does it work? And
What is its purpose? How about that?
Well, and I think that's probably where we really need to start is what's the purpose of the Day of Judgment? And there's a lot of different Christian denominational views on this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure as you listen to what we have to say, you're going to go, huh? But that's okay. That's why this is so much fun. And you can call us when you go, huh, at 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, don't forget, it's ChristianQuestions.net. And our conversation continues on Facebook and our always updated blog. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, and Jonathan, let's go to a quick soundbite here. Just we talked about Mr. Camping, and shortly after his initial prophecy, if you will, of May 21st didn't come to pass. This is a soundbite that we got from CBS Early Show. Just looking back upon that, this was just a few days after that didn't happen.
And apparently, there's a new Judgment Day. Christian radio host Harold Camping apologized yesterday for insisting the world would end this past Saturday. He now says that was only a spiritual judgment, an invisible judgment. He says it will actually take 5 months for the fireball to arrive that will consume Earth.
So that's how you get the May 21st date. And just a word, we're going to touch on some of Mr. Camping's reasoning as we go through this. It was shortly after that event that he actually had a stroke.
He did.
Yeah. And he is recovering at this point, from what I can tell, in a nursing home. He's a very, very old individual. He's like 89 years old. And there was an awful lot of press given 5 months ago. Billboards all over the place. And if you notice, you don't see any press on anything now.
No, you don't.
But this is the other half, because he was always saying that May 21st is the rapture, which we don't believe, obviously.
The spiritual judgment.
Well, yeah, he's calling it a spiritual judgment now.
Oh, I see.
Because he was expecting something physical to happen and didn't.
Okay.
But he's saying there's no doubt about the fact that October 21st, that's the end of the world, period.
Gotcha.
So let's look at the Day of Judgment. Let's figure out, according to Scripture, what is the purpose of the Day of Judgment. Let's start with Hebrews 9, 27 to 28.
"And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him.
So here it talks about men dying once and then comes judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we can understand or begin to put together is, well, judgment then happens after death.
Right, because life is given again to those that died to be judged.
So that's one of the places that we put the context. Now, one of the things we're going to get to later on in the program, folks, so stay with us, is the day of God's wrath the same as the day of judgment?
That's a good question.
Or are they two different things? Are they interconnected in any way? Or is it all the same ball of wax? What is it? We're gonna be looking at that. So the first point, though, here at this moment, it's a follow-up sentence, a follow-up to the sentence of death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
yeah.
After death comes judgment. Okay, what's another purpose of the day of judgment?
Matthew 12:35-37. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
So here you have an accounting for idle words. He says, these are the words of Jesus, every careless word that people speak will be given accounted for in this day of judgment.
So we have full accountability, Rick.
There's a major accountability. And it's interesting, Jesus is comparing, and this will come into play later on in the program, a good man out of his good treasure brings out good things.
Mm-hmm.
So he's comparing those that are called, quote, good, and those that are, quote, ungood.
Evil.
Evil. Yeah, there you go. Sorry. But he's saying that for whichever side of the issue you're on, there is an accountability toward carelessness in the words you speak, and it also implies an accountability toward what your treasure is, because out of that treasure come the words.
Good point.
So there's great accountability. That's another purpose for the day of judgment. What else is there in terms of purpose for the day of judgment?
Let's read 2 Peter 2:5-10.
Okay, let's break this up a little bit.
Okay. And did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly.
So here in 2 Peter 2:5, it's talking about a day of worldwide judgment, if you will, way back when, in the time of the flood. Sin had consequence. And sin had to be dealt with at that point in time.
And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled...
Okay, hold on. Of the unprincipled. Now, mm-hmm. So now we're looking at other periods of judgment. He is now looking at in the epistle of 2 Peter, looking at the condemnation to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And saying those cities were reduced to ashes. Sin has consequence. And again, mm-hmm. What we're seeing is a very simple, straightforward theme through this explanation of different judgments.
And continuing, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority.
So if God could judge the world in terms of the flood, if God could make a judgment in terms of Sodom and Gomorrah, then surely he knows how to rescue the godly from temptation.
Right.
And surely he knows how to keep the unrighteous under punishment.
That doesn't sound good, right?
No, for the day of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to them? So in other words, the unrighteous are being held for the day of judgment.
Later.
Now, what's going to happen in that later? I mean, is that the end of all ends? Is that where everything comes crashing down upon their heads? Or is the day of judgment something, let me put it this way, could the day of judgment possibly have some kind of positive end to it? Or is it all just doom, gloom, you just don't want to be there because it's a bad day? You know, people have bad hair days. All right. Is the Day of Judgment the worst hair day you could ever possibly imagine? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net, and check out CQ Rewind. It has plenty of bonus material. We don't have time in every program to read every scripture and follow our reasoning completely down the line, but it'll help you by visually seeing it and understanding where we're going.
And you're talking about CQ Rewind, the full edition. It's exclusively available at christianquestions.net. And you're right, especially with a program like this, when you're getting into such a deep doctrinal issue on the judgment of mankind, there's just way more than we can even begin to get into. And you've got to kind of pare down the material in order to make room to try to be sensible. And sometimes people tell me, even though we try to be sensible, Rick, you're not.
And again, you can only find it at Christian Questions.
All right, CQ Rewind, it's something you sign up for. It is a free service. Jonathan, let's look at 2 Peter 3:7.
But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly.
So here you go. Now you've got this day of judgment obviously is something that in the New Testament they were looking forward to. Now, you can interpret that phrase looking forward to in a number of different ways.
It sounds like it's getting worse here.
Well, it does. You've got this day, the day of judgment. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Just wait. All of your words, all of your actions are, you're accountable. It's coming. It's coming. So the New Testament is very clear that there is a coming day of judgment. So, one of the purposes then, we've talked about the purpose of, it's a follow-up to the sentence of death. Mm-hmm. There's an accounting for our idle words and the treasures of our heart, if you will. And so it's to punish or prune. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Why am I trying to substitute the word punish with the word prune? I'll explain later. one other purpose for the day of judgment.
2 Peter 2 verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to darkness and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
So the angels are reserved unto judgment. Now let's look at Jude 1:6 as a follow-up to that.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day.
So angels, there are angels that are going to be judged in this day of judgment, as well as humankind. So this is quite a day that we're looking at here.
Big time.
It is. It's a big time. Now, is it a big time day as in a 24-hour day? Is it a big time period of time? Is it a big time where everything just goes down the tubes? Is there something positive that happens attached to it or after it? What is all of that about? Because, Jonathan, all we've done so far is bring out some scriptural principles about what's going to happen on this day of judgment.
And also, we've recently talked about another purpose of judgment is the restitution of all things, that which was lost. And what was that which was lost?
Well, what was lost was Eden, perfection, human perfection.
Everlasting
right,
life.
Right, right. And we're going to begin to unfold that as we go through the program as well. So far, we're looking at the purposes of the Day of Judgment. The New Testament is very clear about laying out what the Day of Judgment is there for, what its purpose is, what it's set to accomplish.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, is Judgment Day coming this week? So is it you're in or you're toast? Or how about, but I never heard Jesus' name in my lifetime. It's not fair. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is Judgment Day coming this week. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4-ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, the reason we're using that as a title question, if you will, is that Mr. Harold Camping several months ago said that the end of the world is coming October 21st. That was supposed to be after the May 21st rapture, of course, which didn't happen. So we're using that as a backdrop, not as the focus, but as a backdrop to talking about, well, the Day of Judgment, because that's really what he's talking about. And we're actually going to get to a soundbite from Mr. Camping explaining a little bit about that in a few minutes. But in the first segment, Jonathan, we were saying, okay, what's the Day of Judgment for? What are the purposes? It follows up the death sentence, so it's after death, all right?
Right.
Secondly, it's there to give an accounting for idle words.
We're all accountable.
Right. And there is a punishment or a pruning process that goes on in the Day of Judgment.
Which will be explained later.
Right. I mean, why are we saying pruning in relation to punishment? Because.
but Rick, also there's judgment upon angels.
That's right. So this is a very significant time. Now, having established that, and folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, again, christianquestions.net.
What does judgment mean? I think that's important to try to define. When you look up the word, what's it going to tell you it means? Because it can mean a whole lot of different things.
Well, Rick, I like the part that in the Greek, it means crisis. That's the word, crisis.
Right. It's literally K-R-I-S-I-S.
Right.
And so that gives you a sense of when we have a crisis situation, what does that mean?
Things are tough.
And they could go either way.
Yes, yes.
All right. So that gives you a sense of what the word, that's the literal Greek word. Just a little bit on the definition, Jonathan.
Decision, by extension, a tribunal, by implication, justice.
Also, it could mean a trial or a contest. So, is the Day of Judgment, now this is a big question here, is the Day of Judgment a process of discovery as it would be in a trial or a tribunal?
Or
is it the slamming down of the hammer of final judgment?
Guilty.
Right. Is it a process of discovery as in a trial, or is it the proclamation of guilt or innocence?
You're in, you're out.
Right. Which is it? Which is the Day of Judgment? Well, let's see if we can look at some scriptures and get some sense of reasoning on that. Let's look at Matthew 12:16-18.
And charge them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles.
So now that word judgment there is the same word is used for the Day of Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4.
Talking about Jesus.
And Jesus is fulfilling that prophecy according to Matthew. Matthew is saying Jesus did this in fulfillment of that prophecy.
Well, what's that prophecy say? Let's head back there again. Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations.
Okay, now just let's pause there for a second. So, this is God speaking about Jesus.
Yes.
Because that's what Matthew is telling us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, he says, he, Jesus, will bring forth justice upon the nations.
And he will not cry out or raise his voice or make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice.
Okay, so when you look at that and you're reading through that, a bruised reed he won't break, a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish.
Sounds like compassion.
It
and
does.
Mercy, doesn't it?
And then, but then it says he will faithfully bring forth justice. But it's in the context of not breaking the bruised reed.
Yeah.
So
gentle.
But just.
Mm-hmm.
So can you put gentleness and justice together? That's, I guess, one of the questions really we need to look at. Do gentleness and justice actually have the capacity to work together? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net. Rick, let's finish the scripture. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he established justice in the earth. And the coastlands will wait expectedly for his law.
So in the context of judgment, bringing judgment to the Gentiles, this is the description of how it works.
Whoa.
This doesn't sound like bringing down the hammer of justice on somebody's head, saying, pow, guilty.
No, and I like the word wait, and the coastlines will wait. There's this patience, there's this long time scenario that has to take place.
So if we look at this and say, okay, how do you define what judgment is for the day of judgment? It looks like, according to this, and we'll have to look at other scriptures, obviously, but according to this, it looks like it's a process of uncovering. Remember, there will be no words spoken idly now that will not be given an accounting for later on.
Right.
So you've got this process of drawing out the reality, of drawing out accountability. But it doesn't sound like it's the final, you know, bang, smack him in the head.
And the scripture reminded me of Jesus' character as he showed us his ministry for 3.5 years, showing mercy, patience, forgiveness, loving your enemies. Why would the day of judgment be any different than what he
exactly
showed in his character?
And what his character showed is that prophecy you just read.
Yeah.
It's living that character. So it all seems to fit. Now, it may be a little bit unorthodox as we look at this, but it sure seems to fit this way. Let's go through a couple more scriptures.
John 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me.
So again, Jesus is saying that my judgment is based on the will of the Father, solely his will, not my own, and therefore I am confident that my judgment is just. It's not too harsh. It's not too gentle. It's just. So again, we're looking at the day of judgment, trying to define how it works coming up in the future. John 7:24.
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
So all of these words are using that word for crisis. So when it says you shouldn't judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in other words, you should be looking at things because they could go either way. And instead of looking at just the appearance, how often does somebody appear to have done something, but when you look into it, it really was different?
That's right. Happens all the time.
And that's why we have a court system. Now, you may not like the court system, and it may not be perfect. It's not perfect. But the court system is designed to get beyond what seems to be, and it's designed to try to get to what actually is. And that's what Jesus is saying, and that's what he's alluding to in terms of the actual day of judgment.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject is Judgment Day coming this week. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So we're looking at defining what judgment means in terms of the day of judgment. And we're just looking at the way that particular word is used in the scriptures. And it certainly gives the idea of a process, an uncovering, and not the hammer coming down on somebody.
It seems that way.
Let's go to, we talked about Mr. Camping here with his predictions and so forth. I want to go to an AP News piece that was done shortly after the May 21st thing didn't come through, and he's being interviewed, and he's explaining why things didn't happen the way he said they would.
On May 21, 2011, we didn't feel any difference. We didn't see any difference in the world, but we know from the Bible that God brought Judgment Day to bear on the whole world, the whole world. Is under Judgment Day, and this is it. And it will continue right up until October 21, 2011, and at that time, the whole world will be destroyed.
Well, there you have it. Now, here's the problem I have with that. There's several problems. First problem, Jonathan, is that he's saying that the whole world was brought under Judgment Day, mm-hmm. and he used that phrase.
Right.
Well, we already found out, according to the scriptures, that judgment doesn't happen until after you've died. It says first death, and then comes judgment.
Correct.
All right, so you've got death and resurrection that have to come into play mm-hmm. before. So that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It doesn't.
And the fact that he had Judgment Day, if you will, 5 months long, from May 21st to October 21st, ending in this great ball of fire.
Judging the 20 to 30 billion that were ever born on this planet?
In 5 months. Now, where is the scripture? That's a question. We are going to get into, well, how long is the day of judgment in a little bit, so stay with us for that. But just an interesting perspective. He said, okay, things didn't happen the way we thought they would. And that's one of the dangers when you make predictions like that. You know, you're putting yourself in a position where you're taking your interpretation of something and saying, okay, this is what I think. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not.
This is what I think. But there's something wrong with, in my mind, saying this is what will happen, and there's no way it's not going to happen, and it's going to happen just this way.
It's like you're playing God almost.
Well, right. We're trying to figure out the will of God before God is willing to reveal it. Now, we can look forward, case in point, talking about the Day of Judgment, we can look forward to this and say, here's what we think it looks like according to Scripture. But do we have all the details down? No. What we're trying to do is be good students of the Scriptures and figure out where they bring us. Jonathan, one quick scripture on, well, this is actually a Day of Judgment scripture, and this brings out a second important point about the defining of what judgment means.
Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment.
Okay, so it's at the judgment.
And will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here.
So Jesus is doing his teaching, and he's saying, at the judgment, the men of Nineveh
will be resurrected. They'll be on the scene.
They will stand up, and they will be looking at those of you who, Capernaum, who are listening to the words of Jesus physically.
They're seeing his miracles.
They're seeing his miracles. And he's saying that in that day of judgment, in that great day of judgment, the men of Nineveh are going to look at you people and say,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah. And they're going to condemn them. They're going to be the ones that are going to sentence them. It's interesting because it says in the day of judgment, the day of crisis, the people of Nineveh will condemn. So what that means is the day of crisis is not a day of condemning, but it's a day of tribunal. It's a gathering of. It's a process. And it's saying that they don't have the authority. The men of Nineveh don't have the ultimate authority that God would have.
No, they don't.
But it's giving their reaction.
And it proves the accountability of every individual.
So here, it's an important distinction between judgment as a process of discovery, and that's what we're saying the day of judgment is. It's a process of discovery and the use of condemning as a final sentencing. So there's two different things here. There's the process of discovery, and then there's a sentencing. The day of judgment, the process of discovery. After the day of judgment, the sentencing, life or death. Folks, if you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net, and check out our archive programs. We have so many subjects and programs that you can look back to, listen to, review, a myriad of subjects.
And if you combine that with CQ Rewind, if you sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition, what you can have is you can have the audio and the written in front of you. You need to sign up for that. It's a free service. There is no obligation. It's really simple, and it's something I think you'll really, really enjoy. CQ Rewind, only available at ChristianQuestions.net.
Rick, on that Matthew 12:41 scripture, I was also thinking of the context. It was also talking about it was going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for the city of Capernaum.
The day of judgment.
Exactly.
So it's more tolerable, it implies that there's a process. And it's the discovery process, because you're now having to go back and look at the life that you led, the things that you saw, the things that you reacted to, and take responsibility. So are we saying that the day of judgment is a final sentencing? No. What we're saying is it's a process. It's a trial, a time of gathering the information together. And now you have to be accountable for that information. That, my friend, is a difficult scenario.
It is.
I mean, think about it.
Humbling.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. And again, there's a difference between the gathering, the process of discovery, and the final sentencing. Matthew 20:18 is a good example of a final sentencing.
Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death.
See, the word condemn there, that's a final sentencing. The scriptures don't talk about the day of condemning. They talk about the day of judgment. Completely different words with completely different meanings. The day of the period of crisis, where it can go either way. The day of gathering the information and putting it all together so that you have something to come to a final judgment later on.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is Judgment Day coming this week. How long is it going to take Jesus and the church from heaven to judge every man, woman, and child that have ever lived on earth? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is Judgment Day coming this week. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4-ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
And if you are a little bit shy about calling in but would like to comment on the program, you can do so via email at Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. That is a personal email, and you will get a personal response in a timely fashion. So, Jonathan, we're looking at the Day of Judgment.
Yes.
We looked at what its purposes are. We looked at what it means. And the word literally gives you the sense of a process.
Right.
It's not a final sentencing.
A crisis time.
Right. When something is in crisis, it can go either way. That's what we're painting a scriptural picture of the Day of Judgment as. And it's a time where justice does prevail through the compassion and love of God through Jesus.
That's
and,
right.
And that was laid out in the scriptures that we just dealt with.
In Isaiah.
Right.
The prophecy.
Yeah, and folks, actually, if perhaps you missed that, you can certainly get it on the archive when we post it at ChristianQuestions.net. Better yet, sign up for CQ Rewind at ChristianQuestions.net, and you can, free of charge, you can get all of the scriptures that we're using all in order, so when you listen to the archive, it can make so much more sense, and take it from there. ChristianQuestions.net is the only place to get those things.
Well, Rick, how long is this Day of Judgment?
Well, all right, well, the word for day can mean a lot of different things, right? It can mean 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It can also mean just a period of time.
Okay.
That's what the word literally can mean. So when you look at it and say, well, you know, back in my father's day or back in my grandfather's day.
That wasn't 24 hours.
Right. Are you talking about, are you talking about October 16th in, you know, 1942? Or are you saying back in that period of time?
Mm.
We use the word for day to mean either 24 hours or an undisclosed period of time.
Right.
The scriptures do the same thing. They do exactly the same thing. Let's look at a couple of scriptures to give us an example.
Matthew 23, verse 30, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.
See, the days of our fathers. Exactly what we're saying. The scriptures use the word, it can mean a 24-hour day, but it doesn't have to. One other scripture on that.
Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things, whosoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.
The word, I am with you always, that's the same word as day. So it's Jesus is saying, I am going to be with you for all of time. So it doesn't have to be 24 hours. That's the thing. It's something that we've got to understand. Now, Mr. Camping said that there was essentially a five-month period of judgment.
I see.
Now, is that a scriptural perspective, or is there a different perspective on that? We're going to take a look at 2 Peter 3, 5 through 9, but before we do that, Jonathan, why don't we go to the phones?
All right. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, dear brothers.
Good morning.
Thank you for the wonderful lesson on the Judgment Day.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your sacrifice. I don't know how you do it Sunday after Sunday, and I know you don't do it for profit. You must be motivated by something else.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, this is one of the greatest joys of life.
Indeed.
Even if it is early in the morning, because I'm not a morning person.
What could be better than serving God?
I agree.
Yeah, thank you. Will the world come to an end this October 21st? Absolutely not. No more than it came to an end May 21st. It's not for anyone to make such a prediction. I respect Mr. Camping. In fact, I wish him health, good health. We see the judgment day, two scriptures. One, you've had the scripture on your program several times. One is Zephaniah 3, chapter 3, verse 8. And that is that the nations are being judged today. Okay, and I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. Your brethren are saying that it's a process. It's not a 24-hour period. It's not an event. It's a process which takes time. And I concur with you also on the length of the day. And I refer to Acts 17:31 and so many other scriptures which you mentioned, and there are more to mention about the judgment day for all people. In Acts 17:31 states that God has chosen, fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And that day, I see it, and I believe you probably concur, that is, it's 1,000 years. So the judgment day is a time for proving ourselves whether we're worthy for life or not. It's 1,000 years as I see it, and I look forward to that time when God will judge in righteousness. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate your call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
So Julius brought up several things, and we're gonna be commenting on many of them. He talked about the nations being judged today, mm-hmm. and yet we're saying the day of judgment is coming in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So is the nations being judged today that great day of judgment, or is that part of something else? So that's an important point that he brought up. And at Acts 17:31, we're actually going to be discussing probably in the beginning of the second hour. So Julius, thanks so much for giving us some good things to work with. And he alluded to the day of judgment as 1,000 years.
Yes.
Now, where would he get such an idea?
From the Bible.
Okay. And let's look at that. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 9.
By the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water.
See, now we talked about this earlier in 2 Peter chapter 2. Same thing. Sin has consequence, and there was a judgment at that point.
There was. Continuing, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men.
Okay, so the earth is being reserved for fire. Now, that sounds pretty ominous.
It does.
And the destruction of ungodly men. Again, sin has consequence. So now Peter is talking about the day of judgment specifically.
But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like one day.
So the Apostle Peter is talking specifically about the day of judgment, and he says, don't let this one little detail escape your mind. One day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. So is he saying to us that the day of judgment is 24 hours?
No.
Not even relatively close. The next verse is giving us an incredibly long period of time, 1,000 years.
Continuing, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance.
Now see, that's in relation to the day of judgment. You see what that said? Jonathan, this is remarkable.
Whoa, all to come to repentance. That's God's desire.
Right. And he's saying that he's got promises in place. There is going to be this day of judgment, but his desire in the context of the day of judgment is that everybody comes to repentance. So, again, remember the comparison. Is it a process, or is it the hammer of final sentencing coming down upon somebody? It's got to be a process, because the way Peter is describing it here, we've already looked at the way Jesus described it, the way Peter's describing it is you've got something that can have a good end result.
And Rick, I liked what Julius mentioned in his comments. that this period is a time of proving ourselves worthy of life.
Right. And I think as we unfold this, that is what we're going to begin to see here. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website is christianquestions.net.
So, Jonathan, we're looking at this concept of a day with the Lord is as a thousand years. Let's look at just a little sidelight, if you will. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17.
And the Lord God commanded the man, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
Now, did you ever wonder, folks, when you read that scripture, well, you know, it seems like Adam lived a whole lot longer than that day, that 24-hour day.
He did, because in Genesis 5:5, it tells us how long he lived his life.
How long did he live his life?
So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died.
So think of it this way. A day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. Adam is sentenced to death in the day that he eats of the fruit, and he dies.
He died within the thousand-year time frame.
See, it makes much greater sense to see it in when you've got the other scriptures to back it up. That scripture now makes perfect sense. So we're looking at the day of judgment, a long period of time. Not some snap judgment, and it's not the hammer of final decision, but in fact it is a time of crisis, a time of uncovering, a time of accountability. Nobody gets away without being accountable in this day of judgment, as we will find out. Jonathan, let's change our focus here for a moment. Let's go to another soundbite here. This is from a National Geographic special that was done on doomsday preppers. And it's going to beg the question, is Armageddon, is the great time of trouble, is that the day of judgment, or is it something else? But this gives you a fascinating look at those who are really worried about end-of-the-world conditions.
These four families are preparing for a time in the not-so-distant future when they believe water, food, and fuel will be scarce.
When the grid goes down, this could be our food source.
We have three different sources of water. Without good water, you're not going to survive long.
They fear a world where money is worthless and there is no rule of law.
I'm not going to look like prey.
Each expects an impending disaster that will destroy the world as we know it, and have gone to extreme lengths so that when the end of days arrive, they will be prepared to survive.
That's pretty dramatic.
It is.
There are a lot of people now that are doing a lot of that kind of preparation. And when you look at that, they're getting at all of them, not all of them, but many of them have different reasons.
Yep.
You know, some look at it from a biblical perspective. Some look at it from a social perspective. Some look at
survival.
Right. And they're looking at it, the idea that all different kinds of things can cause this end of the world. And so the question is, well, is that the great day of judgment?
No, Rick, it seems to me as they're preparing for Armageddon.
And there's something different.
There is.
There. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures along those lines. Matthew 24:21.
For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
So that's Jesus speaking his great prophecy about his return, saying the great tribulation is going to come and it will be unlike anything ever seen. Mm-hmm. That gives you a sense of what those folks are preparing for.
Yes.
Let's look now at Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. We're gonna skip around just a little bit.
The great day of the Lord is near the hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. The day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk blind. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of judgment. In the fire of the passion of the whole earth shall be consumed for a full and terrible end. He will make all the inhabitants of the earth.
All right, and just want to correct one little thing.
Yeah, I said one wrong.
They save them on the day of the Lord's wrath.
Right.
Not the day of judgment.
Yeah,
and I think that's the difference. The day of the Lord's wrath is something that happens in the context of the nations of this world as we live.
Being judged.
Right. Now, there's a difference between the nations being judged in the day of the Lord's wrath and that individual great day of judgment upon which every man's words are accountable and their actions are accountable, and even angels are held accountable for their actions.
Yes.
So there's a great difference between those two things. So the day of God's wrath is not the day, the great day of judgment. The day of God's wrath precedes the great day of judgment, and we can look at John 5, 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in their tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. So now what does that mean? We're talking about the day of judgment, yet it seems like there are some that avoid judgment, those that do good deeds. How can you avoid the judgment when it says everybody has to be judged? Questions and questions and more questions for Jonathan and Rick. It's Christian Questions. We'll be back after the break to address those questions and so much more, so stay with us. Our question this morning, is judgment coming? This week. We'll be back soon. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Grant Bright once said, "Life is like a boomerang. Our thoughts, deeds, and words return to us sooner or later with astounding accuracy." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that biblical topic for this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is Judgment Day coming this week? And our theme text is found in Hebrews 9, verse 27. "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment."
So, is Judgment Day coming this week? I mean, that's pretty bold.
It is.
And we are looking at a prophecy, if you will, given by Mr. Harold Camping.
A prediction.
Yeah, a prediction. That's a better way to put it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep.
That October 21st, which is this Friday, would be the end of the world. The world's going to be consumed in a big ball of fire.
That's what he says.
That's what he says. We want to welcome in our audience at 100.3 WNOX. Aren't you glad you joined us? First things out of our mouths. Oh, the world's coming in. Calm down, it's not, okay? But we do want to welcome you in for this hour. We're glad you're able to join us. We want to remind you that at ChristianQuestions.net, there is an archive. Later today, the first hour will be available, as well as other archive programs. And you can also listen live by going to ChristianQuestions.net, hit the Listen Live button, and follow the very simple prompts, and you can just get in with us if you're not in radio range. So, all of that being said, Jonathan, let's do just a quick recap of what we discussed very quickly in the first hour.
Well, first, Rick, the purpose of the Day of Judgment, to follow up the sentence of death upon all men.
All right, so it comes after death, if you will.
To give an accounting for idle words.
That's what Jesus said.
To punish, prune the unjust and ungodly men.
So it's accountability. There's consequences.
And to judge the angels who sinned.
So angels in this great day of judgment are judged as well as mankind.
Yes.
So it's a big day.
Continuing, this judgment is a process of discovery, just like a trial, and not a time of slamming the hammer down, punishing, and saying guilty.
So the word literally means crisis. That's the Greek word. And so it's a time when things could go either way.
Right.
So it's not a final judgment. It's not a final sentencing, but it is a period of judgment.
And Rick, it's also very important to understand the difference between the judgment, a process of discovery, and the use of judgment, condemning, regarding a final sentence.
And we looked at some scriptures that showed us both of those things in the same sentence, if you will.
Yeah.
And that helps us to understand a final proclamation happens afterwards, but not during.
Those are different Greek words
right. That
you have to find the definitions.
Right.
And also, the Apostle Peter himself tells us that the judgment day is not 24 hours.
Right. He says the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And he's saying that in relation to this very scripture before is about the day of judgment.
Yes.
So it gives you a real sense that it is a long period of time, a long process of time. Jonathan, a couple of other things before we get back into the subject matter.
Well, if you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320. And you can contact us on the web at christianquestions.net. Now, there are many archive programs to listen to on a variety of subjects. Again, that's christianquestions.net. Also, at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first is the summary version. That includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scriptural citations. Now, it's a free download. But the second is our full edition for CQ Rewind. That's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts, transcript, and fully quoted scriptures, plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format, full of graphics and illustrations. Now, that's also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them out at christianquestions.net. CQ Rewind. You heard the program. Now see it as well.
And, Jonathan, that's one of those things we do offer as a free service. And there's so many times you go to websites to get the extras, there's a charge. And we just try to keep things as free can be, because freely you have received, freely give. CQ Rewind is one of those things. You really do want to check it out at christianquestions.net. Jonathan, let's go back to, we're looking at the Day of Judgment as a period of time, and obviously Mr. Camping made his prediction of May 21st and then October 21st. Let's go back to him in a quick soundbite one more time and just get a little bit of a sense of his explanation as to why the May 21st thing didn't happen the way he said it would, and what's happening or going to happen, what he says is coming this coming Friday.
God had not opened our eyes yet to the fact that May 21 was a spiritual coming, whereas that we had thought it was a physical coming. But he has come. He has come in a sense that he now has the world under judgment.
So that's what he said, and since then, as we mentioned in the first hour, Mr. Camping actually had a stroke, and he's recovering right now. There's no publicity about this October 21st date anymore.
No.
Because the first part didn't come true.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so, because it wasn't scriptural. Now, the October 21st thing is not scriptural either. So we're using that sort of as a backdrop to say, what is the Day of Judgment? How does it look? So let's go back to the actual Day of Judgment. And again, folks, if you have a thought, 866-985-4255. Matthew 16:27.
For the Son of Man is going to come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds.
So there is the return of Jesus with his angels. Now, his angels here are Jesus' true followers.
That's right. The church in heaven.
Right. So they are going to repay every man according to their deeds. So this is talking about this Day of Judgment. So this is part of the judgment process. Now, one of the things we had alluded to at the end of the first hour, we read a scripture in John chapter 5, 28 and 29 that says those who have done good are resurrected to a resurrection of life.
Yep.
Those who have done evil to a resurrection of judgment.
That's right. There's differences there.
Right. And it sounds like some avoid this great day of judgment.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, hey, wouldn't you like to do that? Well, what is the difference between those that have done good and those that have done evil? And there's this us versus them thing. What is the scriptural difference? Let's take a look at this now. Let's go back to that John 5, 28 and 29 scripture.
Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment.
And that word judgment is the same word for day of judgment. It's exactly the same word. Now, those that have done good unto a resurrection of life, who are they? What are they? And why is it they don't get judged?
Well, Rick, they have to be footstep followers of Jesus, true Christians that are in harmony and sympathy with him.
Yeah, but do they get judged?
Now?
They get judged now. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. Now, how do you know that? Well, let's look at 1 Timothy 5:24.
Some men's sins are opened beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after.
So you have a difference in where our sins are laid out before God. Some of us have our sins laid out earlier, and some of us have our sins laid out later. In either case, nobody escapes accountability.
That's right.
Nobody. Let's make sure we understand that.
But Rick, Christians take on the merit of Jesus in advance of the world. Now.
So in that taking on the merit of Jesus, now they are under judgment.
Now.
Okay.
There's a difference.
And let's look at John 5:24.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, his has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life.
So now there's something very important there, because in the first hour of the program, we talked about the judgment, the great day of judgment comes after death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now here in this verse, it says he has passed out of death into life.
That's right.
So you have the true footstep follower of Christ being on trial for their life right now. And what this is saying is that later there's the trial for the everybody else.
The world.
So there's the us and the them. Now, let's look at the relationship to Jesus of the footstep followers now, because I think that's important. And then later on in the program, folks, we're going to look at the relationship of the everybody else to Jesus in this day of judgment.
1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world.
So it says that, and this is the apostle John talking to footstep followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. He's saying, we have an advocate with the Father, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous.
Right. He's our, what's an advocate?
Well, and that's an important question. What is an advocate? An advocate literally is an intercessor or a consoler. It's one of the Greek English lexicon said, put it this way, someone who is summoned, called to one's side, especially called to one's aid, to plead another's cause.
So he's fighting for us.
Right.
The footstep followers.
So he's kind of sitting next to you and fighting for your cause.
Okay.
That's the relationship of Jesus to those true followers of him now. That's the us part. Okay. Well, what's the them part? We're going to get to that in a few minutes. Jonathan, actually, why don't we go to the phones first?
All right. We have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
Daniel 4:24. Atone for your sins by good deeds, and for your misdeeds by kindness to the poor. If the world ends this week, how will you spend it? Will you treat it as a shortcut to salvation, or will you renew your heart day by day in Christ, even if the present age lasts a month, a year, or more? Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do from the heart, as for the Lord and not for others. The gospel is clear on the basics: alms for the poor, love for others, prayer in secret, not sackcloth and ashes for the public. You are not judged by the amount of canned goods in your basement, but in the content of your heart. Romans 2:29. Circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not the letter. His praise is not from human beings, but from God.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
Boy, he loves to quote those scriptures, doesn't he?
Yes.
And, you know, Randall brought up, I think, an important point that needs to be at least addressed briefly, and that is the idea that, okay, if the world ends this week, and really, look, it's an Armageddon's not coming, you know, on Friday of this week, okay? But the point is, are we living in such a way that we have our spiritual house in order, our physical house in order, so that whatever comes our way, we are in a good position to accept it and deal with it? I think that's a very important point that Randall brought out for us there. So, Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate that and those scriptures. Jonathan, back to 1 John. We were looking at, we have an advocate with Jesus. He is sitting next to us, pleading our cause for us, helping us.
Our counselor,
right.
Our intercessor.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's look at a couple of the scriptures that back that up.
2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Who reconciled us to himself through Christ. That is being brought into the fold, if you will.
Into relationship.
Right, where you have Jesus as your advocate, sitting by your side and helping you and walking you through, and gave us the ministry of reconciling others, which is the day of judgment. See, that's a day of reconciliation and judgment, because in the prophecies we talked about in the first hour, it touched on that. Very quickly, 1 John 4:17, Jonathan.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Having boldness in the day of judgment indicates that you are with Jesus and doing the work of Jesus, of the judgment of the world, of the gathering of the information so that they can be put in order.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is Judgment Day coming this week. A soundbite next, which says Doomsday for 2012. It's Colonel Mass Ejections in the library with the candlestick. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is Judgment Day coming this week. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, in our last segment, we were talking about the relationship of true followers of Christ to Jesus.
Yes.
And the fact that true followers have an advocate.
That's right. In advance of the world.
Right. And so their judgment is before the great day of judgment because they are part of the judgment process of the world.
Every day.
Now, let's look at Acts 17 and 29 to 31. We're just going to read just the last part of that because this puts the day of judgment, I think, in very good perspective.
God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead.
So the Apostle Paul declares, God is declaring to men that all people should repent. There is a day coming when he will judge the world in righteousness through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's God's judgment coming through Jesus, but it's in righteousness. And it's a very clear and straightforward process. It's not a final stamp. It's the process. It's the gathering. It's the trial part. And I want to go to another soundbite here, but before I do that, I got to ask you a question. What did you say at the end of the last segment about in the library with the candle? I mean,
okay.
Colonel who? What?
All right. Well,
what?
This next soundbite is going to be talking about coronal mass ejections. And I was thinking it sounded like Colonel Mustard in the library with a candlestick.
Oh, from the game Clue.
From the game Clue.
I was clueless.
Okay.
I absolutely did not have any concept of what you were saying. I'm like, what? Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. So coronal mass ejections coming up in this next soundbite from National Geographic about the doomsday preppers. Let's listen.
You could say I'm obsessed with studying and preparing for the end of the world. In 2012, Earth will be bombarded by a coronal mass ejection. This bombardment will knock our neighborhood and the world's electrical grid down. We'll have a couple days worth of water, about a week's worth of food, and in 30 days, our neighborhood's going to be pure pandemonium.
Coronal mass ejections are powerful eruptions on the sun that break free of the solar atmosphere. If these masses of plasma reach the Earth, it could destroy our electrical grid, which touches every facet of modern life.
Wow, that was really winding up, wasn't it?
It was.
And that, again, is the day of judgment the same as the day of God's wrath? No. Okay, so we're looking at these things because we oftentimes glump all of that together.
You're right.
And the day, Armageddon, if you will, all of that becomes before this great day of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was told to us that judgment comes after death and resurrection. So Armageddon comes before all of those things. So
we need to
set them in order. We do need to do a program on Armageddon, though, because there's so much talk about the end of this present world and, you know, what's happening and how and so forth. We'll need to get into that. But interesting sidelights. So coronal mass ejections, and they are saying that there's the possibility of one of these massive coronal mass ejections coming this way in sometime in 2012.
Okay.
Remains to be seen. Stay tuned for that.
All right, Rick, we have a caller. We're going to go to Peter from Connecticut. Good morning, Peter, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good hearing you.
Well, thank you.
We're talking about Judgment Day.
Yes, we are.
And I think it's every day.
Okay.
And if you do treat it that way and try to make proper judgments and go about your life, you know, considering others. And I don't think you have to worry about any prediction of Judgment Day or it when it happens, it happens. But you'll always be prepared, and by, you know, trying to do the right thing.
Good.
So, you know, when you hear these things, it's newsworthy, perhaps, but still, when you live your life, then you, you know, in the manner you should, you feel morally comfortable with. That's, you know, not hurting anyone, treating everyone like you'd expect or like them to treat you, then you're going to be prepared.
Okay.
Oh, very good.
Well, thank you, Peter.
You know, one thing I like about your show?
What's that?
You guys don't interrupt people.
Well, we try not to.
You know, it's almost like I wanted to say, are you still there?
No, we like to listen.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Have a good morning.
You know, Peter brought up an interesting point. He said Judgment Day is every day. Now, the great day of judgment obviously isn't every day. But to live in such a way, I think that was his point. You live in such a way that the things that you're doing, the things that you're thinking, the things that you're saying are all in line with righteousness and goodness, then you're not going to have to worry once that great day of judgment comes around.
Great point.
I do. I think that's a very worthy point, and it's something that we all ought to keep in the forefronts of our minds. So thanks so much, Peter. We appreciate that. Jonathan, let's go to now. We talked about the true followers of Christ having Jesus as their advocate
and being judged in advance of the world.
But they are working with Jesus in the judgment of the world. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
See, again, you have the attitude of the day of judgment brought out in that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this attitude coming out again and again in the Acts scripture before. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. In the 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. There's the attitude of judgment. It's not hard and miserable and fearful.
No, it's merciful.
But it's just.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have justice and mercy working together.
Yes, you can.
And to have those two things working together, you still have to have accountability. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our conversation continues online at ChristianQuestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net.
You know, you got to go to the Facebook page. There's some pretty cool things on there. And you could even like us. I have a hard time saying that. Oh, come on. Don't you like me? Anyway, also, folks, if you do want to contact us but don't want to talk on the phone, you can email us at Rick, R-A-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. It's a personal email, and you'll get a personal response. Jonathan, 1 Timothy 2, 3-6 is a great scripture that helps to put the us and them picture in clearer focus.
This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time.
So there's a lot in there. First of all, you have God's desire that every man be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm. A full discernment. That's a complete understanding.
And I think that's part of what this day of judgment does. If it's a time when things can go one way or the other, truth is laid out. Truth is not only laid out from your own past experiences as a human being, but it's laid out from the standpoint of God.
And Jesus' sacrifice and the value that it had.
So the truth will be completely, clearly understood during this day of judgment, this time of crisis. And then it says there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, and who is Jesus. Now, what is a mediator?
Well, that's different from an advocate, isn't it?
It's way different from an advocate. Remember, an advocate sits alongside of you and sort of speaks with you and for you.
And this mediator is one who intervenes between two.
And the two sides are at odds.
Yes.
So the mediator is trying to bring the two sides that are at odds together.
Mm-hmm.
So the true followers of Christ have their day of judgment now.
With their advocate along their side.
Jesus Christ. The world has their day of judgment in the resurrection, and they need
a mediator.
Someone to sit between them and God. And so the us versus them, there's a different relationship between the world and Jesus during judgment and between the true follower of Christ and Jesus right now. Very different relationship, and that's why the true followers of Christ are working with him in the day of judgment.
Well, Rick, this scripture helps along those lines, Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
And when you say, okay, new covenant, well, what is this new covenant? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament and look into some of the prophecies that begin to touch on that. And folks, as we do this, if you have a thought, we're talking about the Day of Judgment, and we're probably giving you a perspective on it that you're going to say, what are they talking about? It's probably different, but we're trying to be scriptural. So give us your thoughts. What do you think about the Day of Judgment? Is it coming? Is it long? Is it a good time? Is it a bad time? 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Let's go to Jeremiah 31:29-34.
In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge.
Now see, there seems to be first of all, it's talking about in those days, so it's sometime in the future. And it's putting things in a different perspective than the world is now.
Yes.
Because now it's really easy to say, well, it's not my fault. Right?
Yeah, it's Adam's.
Right. Or you know, I was born into a family that didn't have the opportunity that this other people have, and it's not a fair life, and so that's why I did what I did. Or I've got a deficiency, or something's wrong with me. You say that all the time. What's wrong with you, Rick?
No, I don't.
Yeah, but you think it.
Oh, cut me a break.
And so it's different than the context of the world. See, because the world now, there's all of these things wrong, and we can look at all of the external sources and saying, well, it's because of this, it's because of that. This is saying, in that day, no longer will they be able to say, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge.
But everyone shall die for his own iniquity.
So truth, like we were talking, full discernment of truth, it's all brought to the forefront in this day of judgment.
And the sin that beset us before that time won't be there to interfere, because we're before the day of judgment.
Because the resurrection is the having canceled out the sin of Adam. That's what Jesus did with his life, his death, and his resurrection.
Yes.
So the resurrection given to the world, because that's what Jesus says. They will be raised to a day of judgment. And in that day, there's not going to be any more excuses.
Right.
Because you are going to be able to stand on your own two feet. You'll be accountable for what you've done, and you'll be able to make good for what you've done. But accountability is the key factor there.
And continuing, behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will put my law in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
So there is a very specific implanting of goodness and that full discernment that we were talking about.
And this is also bringing out the new covenant, which Jesus told us was he was the mediator during the new covenant.
So
back in Hebrews 12:24.
So that new covenant is in place at the resurrection,
yes,
at the day of judgment. So you see,
yes,
the day of judgment isn't something to be afraid of.
No.
It's something to actually look forward to. And we know that because the next few verses tell us that.
And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Jehovah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Jehovah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more.
So the knowledge of God will be widespread throughout the world.
Yes.
It's not going to be a wondering if this person or that person knows. Everybody will know. The whole context of the world will be changed. And that way, it's a good time to have judgment. And it's a good time to have fair judgment, because you take away all the excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And now each individual stands for themselves and is able to make their own choices without all of the previous junk So what a great day this day of judgment is,
yes,
in terms of being able to make right those things, but you are accountable. That's the key. You're accountable.
But it's going to be easy for some, and it's going to be harder for others.
And that's the thing. Even though you set the record straight, doesn't mean everybody's going to make it.
No.
Let's look at 2 Peter 2:9.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
Now, that word punished, remember in the first hour I kept replacing the word punished with pruned?
Yes, I
did. Well, this is the scripture we got it from. Unto the day of judgment to be punished. If you look up the word, it literally means to lop or prune as with a tree.
Or wings from a bird.
So when you prune a tree, what are you doing? You're cutting the tree back.
Mm-hmm. So it has more growth later, more
right.
fruit.
You're getting rid of all the things that are not necessary on that tree, mm-hmm. so it can produce something valuable.
Yes.
So in that day of judgment, you have the pruning work that goes on for the whole world.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is Judgment Day coming this week. So is the day of judgment a cakewalk? Can you have your cake and eat it too? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning is Judgment Day coming this week. To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985, the numeral 4, all, A-L-L. To be a part of our program on the Judgment Day coming this week.
And really, the Judgment Day is not coming this week. But when it does come, it's not something that you need to run away from and be afraid of. It is something that is that we look forward to because of the depth of God's plan. Jonathan, let's get into just a little bit about angels. We talked about them in the first hour a little bit. Let's just revisit that part of this whole concept with the Day of Judgment.
Matthew 8:29, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?
Before what time?
The judgment day, Rick.
They knew.
They did know.
See, they
know
knew.
What's coming.
You know, and it's interesting, the word torment literally means to test. We won't get into that in details, but you have a sense of their knowing what's going on, and they're knowing how it's supposed to work, and they are subject to Jesus, and that was interesting. They're
yes.
subject to Jesus,
yes.
even though they're wielding all of this spiritual power. They were still subject to the power of Jesus. So very, very interesting scenario there. So we're looking at the Day of Judgment. We're looking at the different elements of it, and obviously, what we're giving you a perspective that probably you haven't heard other places before. But hey, that's why you come to Christian Questions to get an idea of what's happening. Let's go to a soundbite, Jonathan. This was from Operation Reap Souls. We found this on YouTube, and this is someone who obviously sees it a little differently than we do, but he's very passionate about what he's saying, and it's worth listening to.
10 out of 10 people die on this earth. On the day of judgment, Jesus will say to most people, including the majority who say that they are Christians, go away, I never knew you. What will he say to you?
So what he's saying is, you got to be careful. And if you are professing to be a Christian, and to all the world, he's saying, look, everybody's going to die. And when you die, that's it. Now, obviously, we're seeing it a little bit differently than that.
Mm-hmm.
But the intensity is something that we need to draw from and say, look, we may see it differently, but you know, at least he's saying, look up.
Yeah, be accountable for yourself and develop that relationship with God.
Right. Because
you're not exempt from him not knowing you.
Right, and that's the thing. Nobody is exempt. Nobody is not accountable to God, ever. Jonathan, let's go back to the phones.
All right, we have Eric from Connecticut. Good morning, Eric, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hey, gentlemen. How
yes.
are you?
Doing well, sir.
Oh, I'm one of those people that see things slightly differently than you do, too.
That's why we have you on the air, brother.
Okay. Now, the Greek word that is translated as lop in 1 Peter 2:9, it'd be interesting, that is the same exact Greek word that Jesus actually utilizes for pruning or cleansing. It's found in John chapter 15. Or is it more akin to later on in the passage in John chapter 15, where Jesus speaks of unproductive branches being cut off or lopped, thrown aside to be thrown into the fire? This is why exegetical study and contextual study is so important.
Okay.
Two. Jesus said, narrow is the gate that leads to life, and you find it. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many find that. Well, you guys seem to teach that many will be saved, with few people being the exception and going on to eternal punishment. Oh, wait a minute, you don't believe in hell or the lake of fire, which the Bible clearly teaches.
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
See the latter part of Revelation, it pretty much spells it right out there in black and white and in context with the rest of the scriptures teaching on that. The thing is, what I don't understand is, it seems to be what you seem to be advocating, gentlemen, is that at some magical moment in time, God is going to change people's hearts and minds to love him and believe in him who died in opposition to him. Guys like Voltaire and Nietzsche, guys like Adolf Hitler and whatnot, people who died not wanting anything to have to do with God. And the thing is, if God's just going to forcibly convert everybody and pretty much turn them into dolls where you pull the string and say, I love you to them, then this whole odyssey that the human race has been through for the last several thousand years means nothing. And the fact that God has made us in his image, which means he has also given us the ability to have self-determination and will, is meaningless.
Eric, let me stop you for a second, because I agree with you 100%. If we were saying that...
Listen. You're saying everybody's going to be saved.
Here's what we're saying. We're saying everybody is going to be resurrected, and what we're saying is in that day, no longer can you make any excuses for what you do. In that day... Wait, listen. Everybody will be accountable. In that day, if you were a sinner and you're resurrected because Jesus died for sinners,
if you have rejected that sacrifice, the only thing that remains is a fearful prospect of judgment.
Well, but see, here's the thing, Eric. Let me give you our perspective again, because what we're saying is that it is possible to reject the sacrifice of Jesus. Absolutely, that we're not.
And where do you end up? Based upon the scriptures and in context, rejection of Christ ends up. Where is your final destination?
The final destination is exactly what God said it would be. In the day that you eat thereof, you will die. It is eternal destruction. That's what the final destination is for those who will eventually reject Jesus. Eric, listen, Eric. If we're gonna have a conversation, you know, stop and listen, and then I'll listen to you. Okay. First of all, when you're looking at Revelation, you're looking at the lake of fire, you gotta look at what it really means and go back to your historical perspective on the Valley of Hinnom. It was a place where death and destruction reigned. The Jews never, listen to me, the Jews never threw any living thing into that lake of fire. It was there for the utter destruction and humiliation to show the heinousness of sin. Now, our perspective on the Day of Judgment is that at the end of that, you have that experience. We're not getting away from that, but what we're saying is that the plan of God is so big and so magnificent based on the sacrifice of Jesus that it gives people the opportunity to accept him in a world where sin doesn't reign. And if they reject him, then they die. It's really simple. If they accept him, they can live. But the acceptance has to be heartfelt. There's no forcing, and it will be tested. That's why there's a little season. And at the end of the Day of Judgment. And Eric, listen, we need to wrap this up.
Are you talking purgatory here?
No. No. Purgatory is not scriptural.
No. And neither is saying that there's going to be a little tiny season of testing where God's going to, well, if you're talking about the tribulation period of time, it's supposed to fall upon the whole planet,
well,
according to Revelation.
Eric,
I agree with that.
The
Bible doesn't teach in this context.
Eric, okay.
Afterlife, there's a short Eric. Okay, I'm going to make sure you believe
stop,
it.
Eric. Stop. We need to move on, Eric, because it's taking a little bit of time here. Really appreciate your passion, and I love it when you call because you have a lot of you have a lot of scriptural knowledge, and I want to encourage you to continue to call us on subjects like this. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. I do want to mention, though, Jonathan, this little season, Eric's got to go back to Revelation because it talks about Satan being loosed again for a little season. That's what it says. And so we look at that at the end of the Day of Judgment as something that is a
final test, kind of.
Right. And if your heart is not with God, you will be revealed.
Yes.
There is no pulling the wool over God's eyes.
There's no hiding it.
Right. And that's really, really what we're saying here. So we're talking about the Day of Judgment. We're looking at the difficulty that people are going to have with it. And we're really realizing that what we're saying is, before we go to the next call, we're saying that the calling of God right now,
the us
right,
versus them,
is for that narrow way that Eric talked about.
Yes.
Absolutely, positively, he's right on that. It is a narrow way. Few there be that find it. That is the call to come up higher, to have your judgment now, so you are one of those who work with Jesus in the Day of Judgment. But there is also a highway of holiness prophesied in Isaiah
that humankind in the Day of Judgment will walk upon.
And even the fools will not err therein. So it is a different perspective, a different place.
On the earth.
For people, right, on the earth. So there's two different parts. What we're saying, now look, obviously a lot of folks don't agree with this, but what we're saying is that with these two different parts, there's two different pathways that people can walk. Everyone will be accountable. Nobody, God doesn't force anyone. Ever, under any circumstance, everyone will make their own decision and then take whatever the consequences of that decision at the right time. Jonathan, let's go to the next call.
All right, we have Larry from Connecticut. Good morning, Larry, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Okay, now, unfortunately, we're going to have to make it quick, sir.
Okay, I'll make it very quick. You know, when we look at the culture today, are we obeying God or disobeying God? Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, kicked out of paradise because they disobeyed God. We're disobeying God. We won't get into the garden of paradise, heaven, if we don't change our ways. And, abortion, using the Lord's name in vain, that what's going on in New York, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, thou shalt not commit adultery. We're sexualizing our children. We hand out condoms to our kids in grammar school. And with that, I'll make it. I know I made it quick, but that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate your call.
And so Larry's point is, you know, and look, here's the thing that I want to make sure people are getting, is when we're talking about this in terms of a future judgment, it doesn't mean that you're giving people a free ride right now.
No.
Because the things that you do, the habits that you create and follow, all of your thoughts, those are what comes under scrutiny later.
Yes.
So get your life right now. There's no question about that. There is a righteousness that we need to be focusing on so that we can get our lives right now before God, because the Day of Judgment brings out what you really, really are.
Well, Rick, back to the phones. We have David from Tennessee. Welcome to the program, David.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
And David, we're going to have to make it quick, sir, because we're almost out of time.
Okay, this will be real quick.
Go ahead.
The point that I have is the man was talking about judgment, and I realized that he was using the correct version, and I appreciate that. And here's the big point. Y'all going to have to let these people talk. I was listening to the station, and you was cutting him back. You wouldn't let him talk. And you said you let people talk.
Yes, we do.
I think he needed to finish what he was saying, then make a judgment. So that's what I got to say.
All right. And David, we do appreciate that. The only issue was with that particular call, it was just going too long, and we were trying to keep it short. And that's
I've heard you go longer.
You measured the time on that one. I think you'll be surprised.
Okay. But anyway,
go ahead, sir.
Let the people talk. Let them say what they're going to say, and you win the battle.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. And look, if I was a little short with Eric, I do apologize. That's not our intention here. But we're under some time constraints, and for instance, we have about 2 minutes left.
Yes.
All right. And Jonathan, as we begin to wrap this up, okay, we're looking at this Day of Judgment and the difficulty. And folks, look, you can't get to a phone, or there's not enough time to call. You can certainly email us at rick@christianquestions.net, rick@christianquestions.net. And also look at CQ Rewind. You can get the scriptures and all the things that we're talking about here on paper and make a judgment for yourself as to what's going on there.
Plus bonus material, all the scriptures we don't have time for.
ChristianQuestions.net is the place for all of it. Jonathan, let's jump to Isaiah 65, verses 17 to 25. We obviously can't read the whole thing.
For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall be remembered, nor come to mind.
Okay, so there's something new here. Go ahead, jump down to 20.
There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed.
And that gives an indication that there's accountability. There's absolutely accountability. You can't get away from the accountability of the day of judgment. And what it says is God forces no one. That's the primary message here. We don't have time to get to the rest of that. It's too bad, because the rest of those verses are a great picture of an earthly picture of the result of the day of judgment. Let's touch on Daniel 2:44, though. That gives it in a shorter version.
And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall this kingdom be left to another people. It shall crush all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it will stand forever.
Now, that is a very definitive process in the book of Daniel that talks about the God of heaven taking back the world. The world, not heaven.
The earth.
The earth. It shall crush all these kingdoms and bring them to an end.
Those are governments, Rick.
And it, God's kingdom that he sets up, shall stand forever.
Now, that's a paradise.
And I think the only way you can have that work is if you have a judgment that is so thorough that you weed out anyone who would be in opposition to the will of God, so that everyone can work together and live in harmony under the leadership and auspices of God through Christ. That's what the Day of Judgment brings us to. Folks, look, we appreciate all of the input this morning. There's so much to talk about with a subject like this, and we want to encourage you to continue on with Facebook, especially on our blog. Those are great ways to continue the conversation. A lot of detailed scriptures from a lot of different perspectives. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. Judgment Day isn't coming this Friday. Don't worry about that. But we do have to worry about how we live. Let's focus on that. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But until then, Judgment Day. Think about it.